I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So the Guardian have said, oopsie daisy, that whole slavery thing. That was a shame. Whoopsie daisy. I'm not joking either. We'll start off by promoting something on lotusears.com, being William Wilberforce, which I think is very apt in the epochs on his life. But the Guardian don't have such a rosy history, it turns out.
No way. I've always known that they have had a few skeletons in their closet.
Because, I mean, they have a long and proud history of shouting at everyone else and being like, remember slavery? You remember you did that? Yeah, you. You were born in 98.
Me personally.
You still did slavery. Apologize now. And I'm not joking. This goes on for ages. This article here, why the Dutch apology for slavery leaves a bitter taste in my mouth. I'll get over Svarte Piet. And then we go to the next one. They have Edinburgh to apologize for historical links to slavery.
Okay. Well, the entire city. Yes, the city is sorry. The sentient city of Edinburgh.
The stone goblins have come out from the undergrowth. The next one is in 2015. Slavery reparation calls will not go away, says David Cameron. Okay, sorry, it's just like, that's. I don't care. Well, you're telling David Cameron here that you're going to keep demanding this. You're not a slave. Your daddy won a slave. Your granddaddy won a slave. Your great-granddaddy won a slave. Shut up.
There's also the fact that most people in Britain aren't even the descendants of slavery, even if you agree with that argument, which I don't think you should persecute people for their ancestors' crimes, funnily enough.
2007, The Guardian also decided to be like, Britain, terrible. Why? They're blocking the EU apology for the slave trade.
How does one block an apology anyway?
How does EU... the EU's not involved.
The EU was set up after the abolition of slavery. So unless it's a tacit admission, yes... Behind closed doors.
It turns out...
It's back.
Up until 2007, we were still doing that, everyone. But anyway, that's the latest meeting of the UN. Let's say, for the EU. I mean, that would be a weird meeting. Be up for it, but... Yeah, no, apparently we were like, we're going to block that. We're not having this. Not that easy.
Fair enough.
2007, they have, after 400 years, Virginia issues an official apology for slavery. And then no one cared anymore. Since 2007, no one's had to...
Yeah, no one's complained about it whatsoever.
Yeah, no. 2007, Livingstone weeps as he apologises for slavery. This being the Labour Mayor of London at the time.
Cuckold.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm so sorry I did that. Did you?
Ken Livingstone enslaved all those Londoners. To be fair, there is probably a lot of modern day slavery in London under his watch.
I just imagine like if Ken Livingstone came to you and said, I'm so sorry for all that slavery. I mean, you'd be like, so have you set them free? Should we check the basement, Ken? It's just full of kids or something, is it?
He's trapping people in London so they can't escape.
He's just made it all up. It's just like,
I'm
connected to this. No, you're not. In 2006, the church apologized for benefiting from slavery. And as you know, church ever since.
It's a very strange argument. I don't remember the priests going out on slave raids. I can't get a congregation, so I'm going to go and get my own.
Just enslaving the locals of Amesbury. You will sit and listen. God damn it. In 2004, there was an article 200 years on, the Queen is told to say sorry for slavery. And
I don't remember Queen Elizabeth ever enslaving anyone.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, she didn't do it either.
No, of course not.
So good on your majesty. Rest well. But turns out we were slavers and cheat. At The Guardian. Here you have the news. Cotton Capital. How slavery changed The Guardian, Britain and the world. It's their turn.
Cotton Capital.
Yeah, this is their headline.
Is that their own self?
Flagellation.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, is that like the nickname for The Guardian? We're the Cotton Capital. That's right. We were involved in the slave trade.
Oh, I think it might be now. So if you go to the next link, there's the article about it. Guardian owner apologizes for founders' links to Atlantic slavery. Oopsie daisy. Like, we spent the last 20 years berating literally anyone we could get our hands on. We'd be like, you did slavery, you're evil. Oh, hang on a minute, what did I do? Guilty conscience, it turns out, is what seems to have been motivating all this. The Scott Trust said it expected to invest more than £10 million, with millions dedicated specifically to descendant communities linked to The Guardian's 19th century founders. I mean, that's not really a way of doing reparations. It's just like, your community will get the money.
Just a vague... It's like paying someone off, isn't it?
I mean, there's going to be a Black Lives Matter case. I mean, some individual black politicians are going to get new houses in Jamaica. I think that's about the sum total of this.
Are they actually going to Jamaica? Or is it just anyone?
They did mention Jamaica.
Okay.
It follows an independent academic research commission in 2020 to investigate whether there was any historical connection between chattel slavery and John Edward Taylor, the journalist and cotton merchant who founded the newspaper in 1821, and other Manchester businessmen who funded its creation. So this guy made money from engaging in the practice that had been, you know, everyone was engaged in. And had been for the last 10,000 years.
Lots of businessmen were engaged in it, but the majority of the population weren't involved because you had to have the disposable income to be able to buy and trade slaves. Yeah, I've traced my family history and it's poor farmers all the way back.
I love how it's a dab on the poor almost. It's like, have you even owned slaves? No. Why am I talking to you?
Yeah. My ancestors didn't even own slaves. They didn't even live.
Losers. So like that's going to be opinion of a sort of like 1800s aristocrats. So researchers from universities of Nottingham and Hull were able to identify Taylor's links to plantation in the South Sea, in the Sea Islands along the coast of South Carolina and Georgia. After reviewing an invoice book showing that Shuttleworth, Taylor and Co. received cotton from the region, which included the initials and names of the plantation owners and enslavers. It's just a bit of business. It's like good banter. But
it's just a bit of cheap cotton.
Yeah. Another of The Guardian's early financiers, the West India merchant Sir George Phillips, co-owns the Success Sugar Plantation in Hanover, Jamaica. He unsuccessfully attempted to claim compensation from the British government in 1835 for what he regarded as the loss of his human property, in which 108 people were taken from him through the, you know, legalization of being black.
That's a funny way of putting it.
I mean, that's technically what happened, really. Let's be honest.
We've legalized your identity. There you go.
Black people, turns out you're human. I mean, essentially, it is what the criminalization of the slave trade was. His partner, however, successfully claimed £1,904, 19 shillings and 10 pence in compensation, which, according to the most conservative estimate, is approximately 200 grand today for his property that were lost. By that legalization.
It's quite a lot of money.
Alongside an apology to the affected communities identified in the research and surviving descendants of the enslaved for the part of The Guardian and its founders had in this crime against humanity, the Trust also apologized for early editorial positions that served to support the cotton industry and therefore slavery. Pro-slavery propaganda from The Guardian. That's what they did in the 1800s.
Why is it that the people that protest the most always have the most skeletons in their closet?
I mean,
every time, isn't it?
It really is a rule that we should enforce more. If someone starts screeching about how you're homophobic, you just go, so what have you done? Because I've not done anything. What have you done? Like, you're the one obsessed with this topic for some reason. I mean, it's like that lady from The Guardian we spoke about. I love her. It just comes out the same goddamn place in the UK. But she used to call black people the N-word when she was Sudanese. And believed she was better than them because she was North Sudanese, not South Sudanese.
Oh, yes.
They're the real blacks, unlike me.
Everyone knows that distinction is very clear.
And now she spends her time being like, hang on, racism was bad.
No way.
It's like, yeah, skeletons every time. The Restorative Justice Fund will support projects in Ogeechee region of Jamaica over the next decade after consultation with reparations experts.
Reparations experts. How do you get that title?
I mean, unless they're Jews who were compensated for the Holocaust, there aren't any. Because, I mean, that's not the only people who got any that was, you know, obviously deserving.
But being a recipient of reparations doesn't make you an expert either.
No.
I mean, I've received a tax rebate once. It doesn't make me...
Tax rebate expert.
I wish I was.
Put it on your CV. Why not?
Well, it's happened once, therefore apparently I'm an expert now.
The rest of the wide program of measures covers four areas. Raising awareness. Ah, yes. Raising awareness of slavery. Did you know slavery?
What is this?
Oh, The Guardian. Are you telling everyone? Nobody knew. Nobody knew about slavery. What do you mean? What? We did what? I'm sorry, but I just... that is just funneling money into corruption is what that is. We're raising awareness that slavery happened. Okay.
Who's not aware of that, though? Trying to be unreasonably charitable. Like, who lives under a rock that slavery never happened?
This is just paying someone. It's just whoever runs the Guardian, just like their unemployed son, who's useless, is going to now be a educator on slavery and will be paid £1,000 per day.
They just paid them to be like a town crier, and they just walked around the street shouting, "Slavery happened."
Maybe it was a long time ago. Blah blah blah. They're also going to spend the money on media diversity.
Okay.
That's reparations, isn't it?
But they're a journalistic outlet, aren't they?
The next cabinet meeting of The Guardian and all the Board of Trustees are just going to be sat there like, look.
They're just going to go to the harem of middle-class white women and say, sorry, we're going to have to let some of you go.
But the whole board is going to be like middle-class white women and the CEO, who will be a man probably. I'm guessing, but it's usually the case when I look at Companies House these days. Mm-hmm. Where he's hired a bunch of women, so he can't be accused of sexism. But now what he's going to do at The Guardian is just point and be like, look, got some of them now. Not racist. That is actually their solution, but media diversity. We're going to hire more blacks because they're black.
When people say that I'm not racist, I've got a black friend argument, they're like, oh, don't be silly, you can still be racist. Well, Guardian...
We're not guilty of slavery, we've got media diversity. Further academic research, that doesn't mean anything, and increasing the scope and ambition of The Guardian's reporting.
We gave money to ourselves to increase our scope.
Investing in myself is reparations for slavery. I'm a good person.
They also didn't list the monetary amount, so they could have given like £1 to each of them and then given the rest of the money to themselves to further their reporting.
The Guardian announced it would expand its reporting of black communities in the UK, US and Caribbean, South America and Africa. Not Asia for some reason.
No black communities in Asia?
No, they just leave that off. I don't know why.
None there, apparently.
All right. And create 12 new Guardian journalism roles. They're going to hire 12 people. Great. Thanks. I forgive you for slavery.
You know, if fixing slavery was simple as hiring 12 new Guardian journalists, well...
That's the currency now. It's the standard
measure. It's okay, guys. Britain's exempt from any sort of guilt of slavery. We've got 12 new Guardian journalists.
The Scott Trust will also fund a new global fellowship program for mid-career black journalists and expand the Guardian Foundation's training bursary scheme.
Mid-career?
So, yeah, we're literally just going to hire more people who are middling, but they are black. Okay, yeah, good luck. We have the next one here. We also have the special edition that they have here. If you just scroll there, it's a million words. I mean, it's really short, the story. Did you know our founder was invested in slavery because he ran a cotton mill? What do you expect? They got a billion words out of that somehow. Someone got paid to presumably buy the letter.
The Guardian writing fluff?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
But we'll move on from that. We'll go to the most interesting part of all of this, which is, what did The Guardian actually write about slavery back in the day? Because that's going to be hilarious. I mean, I just want to read the pro-slavery propaganda. So this is 1841, in which they're writing about why they should be allowed to buy slave goods still. I'm not joking. That is the central argument. Quote, "We never yet heard of a British merchant who refused to trade with the Brazils or any other country because of its still recognised existence of slavery."
The Brazils as well.
Yeah.
That's a funny way of putting it.
Well, it's just what it was called back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the idea that just, your actual argument in 1841 is, oh, don't get rid of my cotton trading. I make a lot of money off that. Okay. It is of the essence of the British commercial spirit to buy slaves. No. To push our manufacturers into every land where they can be disposed of to advantage. And we have never heard of any impediment to commerce founded upon such a fact as the moral state of a country with which our interchange of commodities took place was not such as we would conscientiously approve of.
So they're basically saying that we've traded with everyone, regardless of how moral they are.
It's in the British spirit to not care about morals.
I mean, that's just a really
funny, what a really funny argument, especially from them. It's not in the British spirit to ever care about morals. It's just for making money. That's all we're good for. That's the pinnacle of being British, is just making money.
I like The Guardian, though.
Christian or Jew, pagan or Muslim.
Muslim.
Yeah, the no one had really settled on the word Muslim back then.
Muslim, yeah. Did you say?
Yeah, look at it. Muslim. What if they're one of their Muslims?
I'm going to start using them.
It's really weird how like Europe had such interaction with the Muslim world for hundreds of years, and still never in English had someone written the word Muslim until like the 70s.
I'm not a Muslim, I'm a muscle man.
Yeah. People who don't know, we used to write Moslem before that,
which
it's still not how they say it in Arabic. So
people still use that sometimes.
Yeah, but anyway, just in case they were a Muslim man. It is all, so far as commercial intercourse is concerned, the same to us. Slaver, Muslim, Jew, same thing. <That's>, yeah, so this is the pro-slavery propaganda that The Guardian used to publish, which is, we don't care about anything, we're just here to make money. Which, I mean, from a person who is a capitalist perspective, I wish you would go back to that, because you were far less insufferable than what you are now. If you appreciated that segment from the podcast The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content that's on the site, such as the premium podcast, this one on why American society is collapsing. If you'd like to find out what else is being put out, you can follow on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.